You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, that is Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today, we're going to continue in our study in the book of Jeremiah. Last time we left off, we just started to dive into Jeremiah chapter 7. We were drawing some parallels between the time of Jeremiah and the times that we live in today. Verse 8, it says, "He says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Troubles are coming on Israel. Troubles had come on Judah." Israel, when I'm speaking of the two kingdoms, it was a divided kingdom. Israel to the north had already been dispersed, taken captive, and scattered among the nations for their disobedience. Her treacherous sister Judah saw all these things, yet did not repent, yet followed after idols. And now the same thing has happened today in America. We have troublous times. We've seen some small incursions into our space by, well, the conspiracists would say that it's from within our own government, which it seems the evidence is overwhelming. And the other ones, the government says that a madman in a cave on the other side of the planet and 9 people with box cutters perpetrated the whole affair. You can believe what you want, but behold, you trust in lying words. WMD, that's why they went into Iraq. WMD, lying words. These people lie every day. Their job is to lie. They go to school to learn how to lie, because that's what they teach lawyers, how to lie. As a matter of fact, they have immunity from lying, but however, if you're a witness or you're the defendant, and you lie, well, you can be jailed for perjury. That's the difference between those who sit on the bench and those who represent those who sit on the bench. They have a license to lie, and it's a bar card. They are barred attorneys, you know, whether they sit on the bench or represent those who do, or should I say, represent. To give you a little more understanding of the word, pronouncing it a little differently sometimes helps. What other lies do they tell that the people trust in? Well, we're having a financial crisis. The dollar has been devalued, you know, what, 3 times in the last, you know, 6 to 8 years. Yes, it's probably worth, it's been devalued 30 to 60%, depending on who you ask and what you're pricing. But they have lying words, and now that it's their false weight monetary, fiat debt monetary system is on the verge of collapse, they tell us all that they're going to bail us all out by creating another $1 trillion to give away to all their friends, all their smart friends who hold the reins of the multinational corporations so that they can save the nation. There you go. Lying words that cannot profit. We went into depth, quite depth yesterday on that topic. So if you missed that, you might want to pull up the archive for our last program. And just start at the beginning of the Jeremiah study there. But it's in the last 5 days at crosstheborder.org. You can listen to it. Jeremiah continues. Remember, the scene is he's standing at the gate of the temple, and he was told to preach this message to the people passing by. I was looking at the commentary by our good friend Henry here. He says, the orders given to the prophet to preach this sermon, for he had not only general commission, but particular directions and instruction for every message he delivered. This was a word that came to him from Yahuwah, from the Lord. We are not told when the sermon was to be preached, but we are told where it must be preached, in the gate of the Lord's house, through which they entered into the outer court, or the court of the people. It would affront the priests and expose the prophet to their rage to have such a message as this delivered within their precincts. But the prophet must not fear the face of man. He cannot be faithful to his God if he do so. So to bring you down to the moment, in context, in history, I give you those words from Henry and his commentary. But Jeremiah, in the beginning of the book, he called himself the prophet to the nations, and he reemphasizes that several times so that we know not only do these words apply to Judah in that day, but wherever else they apply, well, they're to the people that they apply to, and everything fits so well that they apply to our situation in America. I guess one difference you could say is that when Israel had its so-called civil war, they broke in half, and the northern kingdom was then called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. There's a little difference there, but there are a lot of parallels between America and Judah. A nation founded upon the law of God, well, both of them were, to a certain point. Of course, Israel founded in the wilderness upon the family of a man who was renamed Israel and founded in that wilderness as a theocracy overall with the high priest and prophet Moses, who was instructed to set up a government of the people and by the people and for the people. So they had a nation that was governed by judges, and the judges were tiered up. They had a judge for a family of 10, and then a judge for families of 50s, and of course these were chosen by the families. And you see where we get the principle. 10 families would get together and they would choose a judge for their 10 families. And then the judges of those of 50 families would get together and they would choose a judge for those 50 families. And on it went up the tier as instructed. And thus, the government of the people, the pattern for the government of the people, by the people, for the people, was created at that time in the wilderness. So that Moses, who was, well, the presiding officer, perhaps like a president, high priest and prophet for the nation, who stood and spoke for their true king, the creator of the universe. Some of those principles being adopted into the founding of America, a federation of states, much like a federation of families, the families of Israel. So you see a pattern there, a pattern of adopted principles, those lamb-like principles. Jeremiah, so we got it down here. Jeremiah speaking, he's continuing. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? He's saying it to Israel. He's saying it there in Judah. I keep saying Israel, but when I say Israel, I'm thinking all of Israel and Judah, but really in the context there, it is only Judah that he's speaking to, and perhaps a remnant of Israel that were still coming to the temple. Perhaps there were faithful followers, those who were faithful to the Heavenly Father and would not go to the temples and the altars of Baal for that abomination. The northern tribes were scattered. And I forgot to put out my phone. I'll be right back. Yes, I must remember to put out my phone. Yes, and for its transgressions and setting up altars to the false gods and calling on the tribes of Israel, the northern tribes, to come and worship at the altar of Baal and bring their sacrifices there instead of going to Jerusalem, because, of course, that was part of the southern kingdom. So we know what happened there. But now Judah didn't learn. She's called treacherous because she did not learn from her sister Israel, the northern tribes. It says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? Are you going to act just like your sister, the northern tribes, Israel? You're inviting the same punishment. America. So that sounds like America. See, steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, all of that constantly going on. Steal, how do they steal? Well, they take from one and give to another. They take the wealth of one and give to another. They force charity upon people. It's theft. Forced charity is theft. Murder. Well, they just point to all the innocent children that are murdered in the womb. Commit adultery. Well, it's not against the law in America to commit adultery. I'll tell you what it used to be like in America. If a man caught another man in bed with his wife, he could kill both of them. And then if he was tried, well, he would most likely be acquitted by a jury of his peers. Why? Because the Bible called for capital punishment. Both of them shall die. Yeah, that's right. But still, there should be a trial. Always. Doesn't mean anyone should go out there and take the law into their own hands. Because I'll tell you what, men, if your wife commits adultery, I've had a few treacherous wives in my life. And both of them committed adultery. And yes, I felt like killing them. But they were not worth spending life in prison for. So I would not advise anyone taking the law and of capital punishment into their own hands, even though it's due, even though it's just. Because the person, regardless of your anger, regardless of your rage, regardless of the betrayal that you feel. And you should feel all of those things, because I'll tell you what, our Heavenly Father feels those things too. He hates sin much more than you do. And when you hate those things, you hate sin. But in this day and age, you don't take the law into your own hands. Let it go. They're not worth it. They're just not worth it. Take the time you need to heal. Pray. Fast, and the Heavenly Father will bless you in your obedience to Him, and He will curse those evildoers in their disobedience. Just get yourself away from them as far as you can. And I know how hard it is, fathers, because the state helps your adulterous wife steal your children. But you be faithful, and you be obedient to the Heavenly Father, and He will give you the hearts of your children. Yes, she may have her body, their bodies, but He will give you their hearts, because they are your seed, and she is the usurper. And this can go both ways. There are unfaithful men out there that beat their wives or abandon their families, and the same shame on them, just the very same shame. But whatever your position, obedience to the Heavenly Father. If you're a wife and you've left your husband, or you've committed adultery, and you've entered into an adulterous relationship, and you come to yourself, and you want to repent, well, I'm going to tell you what repentance requires in that case. Repentance requires, number one, that you leave the adulterous relationship. It doesn't matter if you're married by the state to your adulterous partner or not. You leave it. And then you go to your husband and you be reconciled. That's what Paul said. Be reconciled to your husband. Now, if you've married another man by the state, well, that can be hard. But if it's an adulterous relationship, if it's in disobedience to the Heavenly Father, then you need to leave it. Of course, I can't make any hard and fast rules. You'd really have to go on a case-by-case basis. But if you're not married, which a lot of women aren't, they just enter into and they start living with a man and perhaps have more children. Doesn't matter. Paul said, be reconciled to your husband or remain single. So there's your choice. Now, if you go to be reconciled to your husband and he won't have you back, then you're free because you have repented and you followed the prescription of his word. But you're not free to go back to your adulterous relationship and live in sin. And you're not free to marry an ungodly man or the man you left just because perhaps you had a child with him. No, you're free to obey our Heavenly Father. And perhaps by his mercy, you'll find a godly husband. Will you steal? We covered theft. Murder, well, easy. Murder, that's the innocent. That's overwhelming. Committing adultery, giving and taking in marriage. Swearing falsely. Goes on all the time. Just turn on the news. Listen to the liars. Trusting in lying words because you've sworn falsely. You said, I do, until death do us part. And burn incense unto Baal. And any time that you put anything before our Heavenly Father, any time you love the creation more than you love the Creator, you're burning incense unto Baal. You walk after other gods whom you know not. And who are the other gods? Well, the other gods are the ones that give you license to commit adultery. That's right. They're your new lawgivers because your God is your lawgiver. That's right. Your God is your lawgiver. The kingdom of heaven has a lawgiver, and all those who want to be in his kingdom are going to reverence him and have a true desire in their mind, in their heart, to please the lawgiver of the kingdom of heaven. That's right, they're going to want to do those things that please him. And he gave us his law and his word to teach us how to love him and to love our neighbor as ourself. Chapter 7, verse 10. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Well, do they say that in America, in the churches today? They go to the house and they say, we are delivered. We are delivered from you, O Yahuwah, O God, O Lord, Jesus, whatever name they call him by. They say, we're delivered to you, from you. We're delivered to do all these abominations. And how are they delivered? To do all these abominations, how have they broken the bands asunder? How have they loosed the bonds of his law? They said it was nailed to the cross. They were lied to. They were told, if you repeat the magic words, you get to go to heaven when you die. And forget about that legalism. Don't even try to keep God's law, because that's legalism. And you will become a debtor to the law. Well, yes, if you rely on the law for your salvation, because the law can't save you. Keeping the law can't erase your past sin. Neither can it erase the sins of your fathers. So the law cannot save us, can it? Absolutely not. But it can be a guide. We can learn from it how to love God and how to love our neighbor as ourselves. We can learn what pleases our Heavenly Father and desire to do only those things that please him. That's how we know that we are the sons of God, and that's how we know that we are walking in his kingdom. But the church says, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. Just like Judah said, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. Who did they get permission from? Men and the traditions of the elders, the Babylonian Talmud, and all the false prophets of their day. And we have them all today, don't we? We may not have the Babylonian Talmud in the churches, but no. It might as well be pouring out of the mouth of the pastors, because they allow them, they teach them that God's law is dead and that they get to go to heaven when they die, pie in the sky when you die. They lead you up to the kingdom, but they suffer you not to enter because they do not go in themselves. Verse 12, verse 11. In this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, saith Yahuwah, saith the Lord. But go ye now into my place, which in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. So now he's pointing to Israel from the tribe of, from Judah, what's left. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spoke unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, yes, Judah was called Yahudah, called by his name. Therefore I will call unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust. And I believe he's speaking of the temple here. And unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all of your brethren, the whole seed of Ephraim. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border, my website, crosstheborder.org.
I'm gonna make it. hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Light Purifier by calling First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773 or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Have you seen Loose Change, the most popular documentary in the 911 truth movement? With the coming change in government, now is the time to push for justice and get this truth into the hands of millions of Americans. First Amendment Radio is offering both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice on DVD. We will ship two copies of both videos to you for $10 cash. Yes, two copies, one for you and one for you to give away. You will see and hear Larry Silverstein admit that they decided to pull the building. Why are they not being pursued? The people must know. Justice must be had. The time is now. Two copies of both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice, for $10 cash. No checks, please. To First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274.
Pick back up here where we left off in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 13, he says, "And I called you, but you answered not." In the New Testament, it says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Why? Why are few chosen? Someone would like to bring an accusation against the Creator. Many are called, but few chosen. If He calls and you don't answer, well, you probably won't be chosen, will you? And that is the predicament that most people are in. Oh, they're just too busy to answer. They're too busy to answer the call. They've got better things to do. They've got football games to follow. They gotta make money. They gotta break in the bucks. Or they got video games to play, you know. They have more important things to do than mess around with the Creator of the universe. More important things to do than read His Word. More important things to do than secure their position in His kingdom. More important things to do than worry about eternity and what's going to happen to them after they die. Many are called, but few are chosen. Simply because few answer the call. And then some answer the call. Of course, the Messiah, he talked about those that answer the call. And he likened some to good ground, some to stony ground, and some to, well, that grew up among the thorns and the thistles. And you can read about the parable of the sower. I'm sure we covered that thoroughly in our Gospel of Matthew study. And you can check that out on the website, crosstheborder.org, you'll see the Gospel of Matthew study is archived there, and you can listen at no cost, anytime you want, on demand. So that answers the question of Jeremiah in verse 13 where he says, "And I called you, but you answered not." Are you answering the call today? If you're hearing my voice, well, you're hearing the call. Not just me, like I'm something great. Anytime the Holy Spirit convicts your heart about something you're doing, or perhaps you may hear a word here, or you may think that Bible should be dusted off and read, but I just never get around to it because you got to watch that football game, or you know, listen to your favorite pop music on the romance idolatry radio station that you're accustomed to, or you know, it's just more important than turning over to a Bible teaching or even putting in those Bible tapes so you can just hear the Word of God and nothing else, or God forbid, turning on a program like this. I don't even know why you're listening now. This Bible stuff is, you know, is probably just bores most people to death because they don't have time for it. All those people right now are, just think of it, there are a few people listening to a program like this, a Through the Bible program. There are very few Through the Bible programs. But say there's thousands in America listening to this type of Bible program. At the same time, there are millions who don't have time. Oh, they heard the call, but they ignored it or said, "I'll do that later. I'll take care of it on Sunday." Or perhaps just on holidays. I'm a good man. Certainly, God won't let me go to hell. And they think about all the good things in their life. Take their fist and rub their chest, you know. They're shining up that apple. All that pride of how good they are. Because all the good things in their life. Not realizing that every good thing in their life is a gift from their Creator. But they'll take credit for it, and they'll point to it, and they'll say, "God, I'm a good man. You can't let me burn in hell." But when that day comes, he's going to say, "Take from him who produced nothing, who buried my talent that I gave him. Take it from him and give it to him who had 10 talents. For to whom has much, much shall be given. But whoever has not, even that which he has shall be taken away." Don't have time to answer the call? That's your fate. That's your fate. It's a sad fate. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. You can enter into his kingdom. It's not pie in the sky when you die. You have to be there to go there when you die. You have to already be in his kingdom to stay in his kingdom when your mortality, your grace period of mortality ends. He says, "I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim." Of course, speaking of the northern tribes. "Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession for me, to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven." Wow, the Queen of Heaven. Who's the Queen of Heaven? Well, I'll tell you, it was not Miriam, that Hebrew woman, who bore the Messiah. Oh, they've created a whole new image for you in the corporate church. In the mother corporate church, that is. Of course, her Protestant daughters, they don't reverence the Queen of Heaven and try to rename her as the mother of our Messiah, that humble woman who bore the seed of the Holy Spirit. Well, they were making cakes to the Queen of Heaven then. And they're making cakes to the Queen of Heaven now. "And pour out drink offerings unto other gods." Oh, yes. Of all of the saints. Of course, the common people in the Mother Church aren't saints. Only canonized. Who the biggie, wookie, muckies in the red and purple suits wearing their fish hats. Only the ones who say they are saints are saints. Because they've elevated them to the status of gods that you pray to. This goes on in America. This goes on in Mystery Babylon worldwide. And it went on here in Judah. Listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead the dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and pour out drink offerings. See, that's a picture of praying to other gods. Pour out drink offerings to other gods. That's praying to the saints. Praying to anyone but whom our Heavenly Father has authorized to receive His prayer. Remember the Messiah? They call it the Lord's Prayer, but it wasn't the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't His prayer. He was instructing them on how to pray. It was an instruction in prayer. That's right. It was an instruction in prayer. They call it the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. It was an instruction to prayer. Now listen to what He said. Our Father who art in heaven. There's your authorization on how to pray and who to pray to. We pray to our Heavenly Father. And we do it in the name of His Son. We don't pray to saints. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We don't even pray to Jesus. We don't even pray to the Son. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son. Because His blood covers us. If we belong to Him, we are in His name because we have been adopted into His family. And anything we pray, if we are truly adopted into His family by His blood, the seed of faith, then every prayer that we pray in His name. Whether we say it properly, whether we say Jesus, whether we say Yahshua, whether we call Him Master, when we pray to the Father, we pray in His name. And what does the Heavenly Father say about this? They're kindling the fire, praying to other gods, pouring out drink offerings unto idols, making cakes to the Queen of Heaven. He said, do they provoke me to anger, saith Yahuwah? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? He's saying, whatever is considered anger, whatever retribution that comes upon them, they're bringing it upon themselves. They provoke to themselves confusion of their own faces. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah God, thus saith the Lord God, Yahuwah Elohim, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and shall not be quenched. That won't be enough. Thus saith Yahuwah, by name, the Strong's 3068, the Lord, in the Authorized King James Version, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God, the Elohim of Israel, put your burnt offerings into your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spoke not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels, and in the imagination of the evil of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Yahuwah, their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth has perished, and is cut off from their mouth, Judah. Welcome to America. Cut off thine ear, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up lamentation on high places, for the Lord, for Yahuwah hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. No, that isn't happening in America, is it? Do they set abominations in the congregation, in the house of the meeting? Do they set abomination? Do they have a flag of an image of another god? Do they have a master of another image called a governor? Do they set another flag at equal staff with his standard? Do they have a tree decorated with ornaments during the winter solstice to celebrate the death of the S-U-N? Do they do all of these things? And then they call it Christ Mass, Christ's death. That's what Mass means, death. So they practice, all of the Protestant daughters practice the abominable practices of their mother, the great whore. Do they not practice the sunrise service rather than his Passover? In obedience to his word, do they not practice the practices? Do they not pollute it? Well, I'm in good company here. Paul talked about it. He talked about the pollutions of idols. Are these not the pollutions of idols? Oh, as much as, and I've heard everything to justify it. I don't think I've heard anything that isn't out there. I've heard it all. All of the justifications for Christmas, Ashtaroth, Easter, Valentine's Day. I've heard all of it. It doesn't wash. When I come down to his word, all those things are still the pollution of idols. It's okay to say Merry Christ's death. It's okay to say Merry Christmas, because that's what it means. Christmas means Christ's death. The great whore had a habit of Christianizing all of her pagan practices. And the reformers couldn't reform the church, so they protested, but at the same time they adopted many of her practices. From virulent anti-Semitism to allowing the pollutions of idols to creep in. Thus, many of the early Protestant churches, they would not do Christmas at all. They would not do Ashtaroth. Some of them decided, hey, let's keep the Sabbath. Not for salvation, because we read the Word and we think it might please our Heavenly Father. And let's keep the feast days. But do the Protestant daughters think that today? They think, oh no, that's an abominable thing. We can't keep His law. We're free from that. It's nailed to the cross. So let's go out and have a harvest festival instead of the Feast of Tabernacles. Why not? Why should we do what pleases him when we're used to doing these other things? Yeah. Why would we want to do what pleases our Heavenly Father? Why would we want to keep his feast days? Well, that's abominable. But let's keep Merry Christ's death, Christmas. Let's keep Ashtaroth, Easter. Let's keep a harvest festival. Let's just do the pagan things, but we'll just rename them to sound holy. And, by the way, we'll teach all of the wicked ones to do the same thing. We talked about that yesterday. Jeremiah brought that up. The word of the Lord through Jeremiah. The word of our Heavenly Father through his servant and prophet. The children of Judah, chapter 7, verse 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith Yahuwah. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Yes, child sacrifice. Can you say abortion? It was going on, people. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, saith Yahuwah, that it shall no more be called Tophet, for the valley, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet, till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven, and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall frighten them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah, and from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Ominous, very sad words. This is a description of the abomination which maketh desolate. This is what brought about the destruction of Jerusalem, of Judah. This is what brought about the destruction of the house of Yahuwah, of their God, the temple. The abomination which maketh desolate. There's no mistake. Oh, all the prophecy pundits out there are looking for an incident. A pig being slaughtered on the altar, certainly that's an abomination. But that's not the abomination which maketh desolate. The abomination which maketh desolate, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, is being described here in Jeremiah. This is what brought about the destruction. This is what brought about Jerusalem being compassed about by armies. Now remember, Yahshua, the Messiah, said it. When you see these things, Jerusalem compassed about by armies, same thing happened here. Babylon came in, compassed about by armies. It was an indication that the cup of sin, the abomination, was full. The abomination which maketh desolate. It happened here, and then it happened again. And the temple was destroyed here, the abomination which maketh desolate, desolated, destroyed, that brought about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, happened here in Jeremiah's time, and it happened again after the Messiah, after the 70 weeks was fulfilled and the gospel went to the Gentiles, went to the nations. That's why the New Testament was printed in the language of the nations, Greek, rather than in Hebrew. Sorry, all you messianics out there, all you, nothing wrong with Jews for Jesus. There are Hebrew people out there practicing Judaism who have come to the Messiah. That's a wonderful thing. But this whole Gentile messianic movement, where they worship everything Jewish, and they change and they start speaking Jewish words and singing Jewish-sounding songs and dressing up in Jewish garb and wearing yarmulkes and all that stuff, all that Jewish, that's idolatry. And you'll find that most of these guys are just Gentiles masquerading as Jews. Somehow they discovered their Jewishness. That's a sad, very sad. But that's it. The abomination which maketh desolate. If you want to know what it is, there it is. That's what it is, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. He spoke of it, did he not? Yes, he did. And it came again. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 1. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of his priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered, nor be burned. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. That's the judgment of Jeremiah from the God of Israel. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.